Good morning, everybody, and welcome. So this session will link into our experience of getting ahead, and obviously part of getting ahead is listening. However, as this is a Martin Moore Care session, it's also going to be a little bit participatory, so this is all about active listening this morning. So Martin has had more than 25 years' experience in the financial services industry, including senior roles such as Chief Actuary, Chief Financial Officer, and General Manager Life Insurance. Martin is currently enjoying a portfolio of activities. Does that include golf? Or? No, okay. He presents training programs for financial advisors, coaching relationship skills. He is involved in customer service training for diverse companies and facilitates the Business Essentials program, honing people skills. He also acts as a business advisor to business owners who appreciate the need for external accountability, including as an independent director on two boards. He is a member of the Australian Institute of Company Directors, Thought Leaders, and Improv Australia. After qualifying as a fellow in 1986, Martin has contributed to the Institute in a number of areas. He's currently a member of the Leadership Committee and was the author of the More Than Maths column in The Actuary. So welcome, Martin.
Thank you, Leslie. I'm looking around. I'm sure that everyone here appreciates the idea of listening in order to get ahead. I'm sure that's been your experience in your career to date. Of course, it is going to be active listening. I just want to check responses. We're going to use an old-fashioned term for an audience response measure, which is putting a hand up. So let's start. So who would agree that listening is important? Splendid. Okay. Of course, if you didn't, that would be opportunity to check what else is happening while this concurrent session's on. Harder question. Who's attended a course on public speaking or presentation skills? Okay. Very good. It's three quarters. And who's attended a course on listening? Oh, so we've got a few. Oh, splendid. Okay, so we'll be looking for some wisdom from the room for people who've been to a course. And that's the normal kind of ratio, that so much effort gets put into the sending of messages and not so much effort seems to get put into the receipt of messages. So the purpose today is, firstly, where are we going? Yeah, enter button probably works. Or not? You want me to use the mouse? Okay. The one. I should have had a practice. I apologise for being... Click on me, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the time available this morning, I really only want to focus on two objectives. And you'll be pleased to know that one of them is not attempting to teach you how to listen. Being all professionals here, I'm sure you're already well and truly aware of some of the tips. But I did think it's an opportunity to give some reminders and just improve your self-awareness of some of the listening skills that you learned probably from your mum many years ago. The one thing I would like to add, though, is some ideas for you to respond more effectively, assuming that you have listened well. So they're the two objectives for today. So you recognize, some of you will recognise that scenario. Who here listens attentively all the time? Congratulations, you're normal, and appreciate your honesty. So if you're not listening attentively, only in certain situations, I'm sure, but think about those situations where you're not listening fully attentively, what are you doing instead? What are you doing instead? What are you doing when you're not listening attentively to someone? So my experience is that for most people, you are distracted. And the distractions tend to come in one of two forms. The external distractions, either because we're looking at a PC or a phone or a message or some people walking by or seeing something else or the TV screen. So the external distractions, But of course, the other distractions, one of the most potent, are the distractions that happen between your ears. So the other thoughts that are distracting you. Either what you're going to say next, well, that gives me an idea, or if especially it's not a particularly interesting topic, you know, what I'm going to have for dinner, what I'm going here, what time the bar's open. So just a reminder that when we're not listening attentively, it normally is distractions. We can, especially if we're aware, do something about those external distractions, but we might need some practice on managing the internal distractions. So I said one of the objectives was reminders. So let me just give you some reminders. There are lots of different lists of things to do when you're listening well. So this is just one reminder of key skills. So acronym of CARE. We're listening with care. We need to concentrate. Let's avoid those distractions. Important to acknowledge. Some short playback questions. Or even if it's just non-verbals. Nods, smiles. We need to respond, which we're going to talk about shortly. How best to respond to what you've just heard. And one of the other things we're going to work on is the E for empathise. It's not just responding to the material, the subject matter, but responding to the person as a human being. Thinking about those four skills, 30 seconds reflection time, write down which of those you think that you most need to practice. Okay, for those people who, for whom it was R or E, which we're going to work on for the next half hour or so, or until Leslie tells me to get off. So I said that I'd give you some ideas about how to respond more effectively. So let's assume that for this purpose that we are all good listeners. We've remembered some of those helpful hints that you learned from your mum. You've got someone in front of you who you are really paying attention to. And it's your turn. It's your turn to respond. I think there are four ways that people respond. I think we can respond with an empathetic type comment. I think we can respond with some advice. I think we can respond by asking some additional questions. I think we can respond with a critical type response. So to give you an example, someone comes to you with a great idea for your business. An empathetic response may be something like, you seem really excited about this proposal. An advice one would be, this is great. I think you should formalise this. And if I was you, I'd take it to the boss, you know, if you can just polish it up a little. Third could be range of questions. Who else have you run this by? Has this been tried anywhere else? Do you think this is the right time, etc.? We'll hold any number of questions about their proposal. The fourth could be a critical response. Look, that's terrific, but really, I think you've got better things to do with your time at the moment. I think that many people have got some preferences for those four, and that's perfectly normal, perfectly acceptable. But I also think that in various situations, any of those four or a combination of those four may be required. And my experience, of actuaries, especially in a workplace, is we have a strong emphasis on two, giving advice, and three, asking more questions. And these are wonderful attributes and, in many situations, perfectly good responses when we're in a business environment. But I think that if we only work on two and three, if we're only asking more questions, if we're only here to give advice, you know what you should do, then I think we're limiting our range of responses. I think we're limiting our flexibility. So some people say, oh, no, I would never give a critical response. I think, well, that's kind of funny. You know, you tell your children, you know, wake up yourself quite regularly, don't you? And yet, for some reason, we don't think it's appropriate in a business sense. But we know, you know, it's in our experience, that there are times when people do need wake-up calls. So if you have, for whatever reason, dismissed four from your vocabulary, what I would get you to think about is, what would be the circumstances where you might need a critical response? And, indeed, how you might practice so when the time comes, it will be delivered more effectively. The first one's a more interesting one. Especially in a business environment, we are so solution-oriented, I suggest, that we really are focusing on the content. And we might want to understand more, ask questions. We might be really keen to give some advice, because we've seen this before, we're experienced people, we're knowledgeable, we're insightful. We know what the next step is. Very easy to skip the first one. So I really would urge you, even if you don't need the critical response very often, I would really urge you, not just in your non-business life, but in your business life, to start with an empathetic response, acknowledging the humanity of the person you're dealing with. Now, again, range of definitions for empathy. All I'd say is that it is a genuine recognition, acknowledgement, of the other person's being, intent, or more likely, emotional state. So even as simple as, you seem a bit concerned about that, or you seem excited about that, or, oh, you're looking quite pleased about that. Just that simple acknowledgement, I think, is a far more effective way of letting the other person know that they have been heard rather than playing back the content. I think most of us are really good at picking up the clues from the content and playing it back, but I'm not sure how well we do the first one. And therefore, I think we're missing out on a wonderful opportunity to really demonstrate that we've heard the person, not just heard the words. I'm sure you're all keen, therefore, given Leslie's introduction, to put this into practice. So this is the way we're going to play the game. I'm going to give you a scenario. And perhaps in the rows you're in, if there's about three in a row, that's going to form a small group. If you have less than three people in your row, you'll need to find someone else. Sometimes that's quite obvious. If there's three solos there, that will form a nice threesome. But other than that, as it gets further down the back, I'll leave it to your own judgment. But if we've got three or four in a group, how about you do that now? How about you do that? Find your threesome or your group of four. Introduce yourselves if you don't know them. Okay, good. I could detect the noise going up as people introduced. I could detect the noise going down and you're waiting for further instructions. This is the scenario. Okay, so we're all sitting, it's getting a little bit awkward in the groups of three, but I think you can kind of position yourself so you can hear each other. And if not, move the chairs accordingly. I'm going to give you a scenario. In your group, what I want you to do is have a conversation about the types of responses that might be appropriate under each of those four headings. You remember the four? The empathetic response, the advice response, the asking questions, the critical response for the scenario. In fact, it would be helpful to write them down. Just so part of getting some practice in what might be, depending on the state of the person in this scenario, what might be an appropriate response under each of those. And you may even have two or three. And ideally, if you are comfortable, of course, challenged by choice, putting it into practice out the front might be a really good way of demonstrating and embedding. Yeah, we'll worry about that part later. For now, here's the scenario. You can read better than I can. Have a look at that, and then conversation in your group. Pens ready. Write down some possible responses under the four headings. If you're down the back and you can't see, you may either stand up so you can read it, or in fact you can come down the front. This is not church, you are allowed to move down the front. Okay. I'll come around and see how you're going. about 5 minutes, having conversations, suitable responses. You're the person this person has come to see. So we've got about 3 minutes to go. Let me just remind you about there's been a couple of questions, so I should clarify a couple of things. What you're writing down, I'd like you to frame it into the exact words. So not just, could be worried, could be excited, hard to tell. No, see, what might be, just imagining that what the response might be. I'll probably ask some more questions. Yes, you would. What would be the specific questions that might be appropriate? Lots of possible advice, but you know, just write down a few specifics for the advice. What might be a critical response? Exact words, because why exact? Because when we actually get to play it, it will be interesting to see the way in which your kind of plan for the conversation might roll out in practice. Also, by using the exact words, that might have some of you more comfortable in doing the demonstration. Two more minutes.
Yeah. Would anybody here like to demo? Anybody keen, enthusiastic?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for cooperating. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with your new friends. We've had a few cooperative volunteers. It would be a lie to say enthusiastic, but it would also be unfair to say reluctant, all right? Because it is challenged by choice. A few people have offered, if you like. So I do like. So your role in observing is to look out for the four categories. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it corresponds with what you've got there. But also just that, whilst it's going to be a little unnatural with a microphone and 30 other people observing, to the extent, just, you know, think about, you know, what are we here for? The way that one person demonstrates their listening skills broadly, as well as the way that they respond. So firstly, let me introduce Jenny Lyon, who's kindly volunteered to be the person minding her own business at her desk at work. John Oakley has kindly volunteered to be the person who has been offered the role in beautiful downtown Shanghai. So, John, if you could just mind waiting at the door of Jenny's office, and if I think the microphone will pick up both of you because this is being recorded for training and quality purposes. So John, if you could just stroll in into Jenny's office and sit down and have a chat, and we'll be keen to watch. Oh, now, sorry, one other thing. The people at the back, because we're not on stage, you may not be able to see this. So if you can't, can you please stand up so you can see? Because some of the body language stuff might be interesting as well, mightn't it? So it's important to observe. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Right. Come in, John.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Hey.
Come see. At the moment? See. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Thanks.
No problems.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Only. Look. Someone wanted to just chat with you about. I've been given this job offer in Shanghai, and it's a great opportunity because I would be like running the new consulting business in China. But I don't know, just not sure if it's the right move. I'd have to commit for at least 3 years, and that would mean relocating the family. You know, the kids are in high school. I don't think my wife would be that happy. Like, she's never even been to China before.
You sound very excited about the opportunity, but I guess I can hear that you're also concerned about how it's going to affect your family.
That's right. Yeah, sort of mixed feelings.
So, have you talked to your family at all about the possibility of moving overseas?
No, I haven't. I haven't actually done that yet. I'm just, yeah.
And do you think that would be a good starting point to but tell me, what excites you about the opportunity? You know, what is it that particularly appeals about it?
Just like a great opportunity to be starting something from scratch, you know, running my own business, and just being like an opportunity to start something from new and just see something grow and develop, and you know, just be involved with that would be fantastic.
It certainly sounds exciting, and it sounds as if you're committed to it. But it's pretty hard when you've got a family, you know, and pick them up and take them overseas, and it's a new language and a new culture. And
do you really think that's
going to be going to work for the family?
Yeah, no, thanks for acknowledging. It's just a difficult position, just weighing up those two, I guess, competing emotions, like the excitement, as you say, on the one hand about the opportunity versus concern about the impact it's going to have on my family, which is obviously very important to me. So,
look, I think you've... Thank you very much for our volunteers. Well done. Stay there. Okay, there's a microphone there, and I'm keen to get some comments and observations from you. So as we throw to you about what was the same, what was different, how that flowed, how the different types of responses got used by Jenny. So firstly, from my perspective, John, good work. Jenny, 20 seconds notice, being able to actually not just get the lines, but think about how, I don't know, were you thinking about how you'd be in the circumstances, or were you thinking of someone else?
I was just trying to channel the situation.
And this is, it's not for nothing we use this scenario, that it would be very easy for Jenny to start off with, tell me more about the role. What's it about? Or what are you looking forward to? Very easy to start with questions. But I was delighted to have Jenny start with E. So she was acknowledging the mix. She acknowledged, there was some excitement about the role, but clearly she was also acknowledging, by word, the concern that that John had, which I think even for us, less perceptive males, we could pick up that he was a little concerned, yeah? And so then a nice flow then, okay? So you acknowledge that. And John, did you feel that you had been listened to by the what? No, I shouldn't say it like that. So, what was your mindset when Jenny responded like that?
No, I really felt actually that I had been heard, and that Jenny's response was excellent, because it reflected both sides of the emotional mix that I was in, which is why I came, obviously the reason why I come to talk to her.
So,
because she's such a good listener.
Exactly. Beautiful.
So, thank you, John.
And so they kind of naturally then flowed. Okay, let's explore this. It's clear that John's come for some advice, and rather than just launch into the advice, I think most of us here would think this is an opportunity to get some more questions before we start throwing advice out. So, as you heard, Jenny's asked a question, and it was quite an interesting one. The very first one was, "Have you spoken to your family about this?" And she may have been a little surprised at the answer, but. But
actually, in my experience, no, not at all surprised.
But interesting, for the people observing, what was it about John, not just his words when he was answering, but what was it about his tone, what was it about his body language, which showed that he looked a little, my observation, looked a little nervous at the prospect of even raising this at home. And this is where our listening isn't just our ears. Our listening is through our eyes as well, picking up some of the body language of that and listening for tone, not just words. And so what I thought Jenny did cleverly then was actually use a question to softly give some advice. Like, do you think it would be a good idea to raise this with your family? is a softer way than saying, perhaps the critical response, John, seriously. It's time to talk to your wife. And that would be a possible critical response. And if we had this sense that, how long have you, if the next question was how long ago were you offered this, 3 weeks, then perhaps for the people who say, no, I would never give a critical response at work, perhaps if his answer was, 3 weeks, I think maybe, man up, have a chat.
Don't just give her the boarding
pass. So I didn't hear a critical response.
Sign here.
What I thought was especially interesting was that having heard some of John's answers to her questions, Jenny actually went back with some additional E for empathy responses. Right, so she actually acknowledged, his concern again, and actually used the first empathetic response, excited about the opportunity, as a way of framing a question. So what is it about the opportunity that you're excited about? Yeah, so we're being able to actually combine those things, being able to combine the question with the advice, might be a softer way of giving advice, being able to combine the E for empathy with a question, using that as the lead-in, is a very clever way of responding well and doing some excellent demonstration of listening. Who had some things that were different on their bits of paper that you would be using, or some observations, or some questions for Jenny? This is the audience participation time. Observations on the exercise, please. Get the mic, thank you, Janice. Questions for Jenny about the way that you worked, or some observations, or what you would do differently.
Observations for Jenny. Obviously, you've been in this position or similar before. Often, I think if a colleague, as opposed to a report, would come in with that conversation, most people immediately think about, this was me. Lucky doer, you know, would be a response for some people, which would be, well, why haven't you got on the plane? The questions would go straight into that almost critical, what are you still doing here? You should have gone. What's your wife got to do with it? That sort of feedback, because they themselves would have gone in an incident. They start framing all the questions about, well, why haven't you done what I've done? And that's when people will then back off and go, wrong person, I've picked the wrong person to talk to, so they don't get my issues. So the difficulty is to put your whole self out of it. It's not about me, it's about you. And listen, as you say, more rather than yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Great observation. It's a great example of what I said earlier, the distractions that happen between our ears. If our first distraction, and my term for this is autobiographical listening, right? So, yeah, listening just through our own account or our own stuff, it's just another distraction. Thank you. Great observation. It's also another example about when we're framing it, autobiographically applying or overlaying our values on there. So it was a good example. Other observations, questions, comments? John, you need to walk though.
Just an observation. If you were a boy buddy of John's, you may come up with a response, hey, I bet you wish you weren't married now. sometimes it goes to picking the person you go to seek advice from.
Absolutely. And again, this is partly for the person you're seeking advice from, who am I going to see. But also, the right sort of response and whom that would be accepted in the spirit which is intended and for whom that would be fairly offensive. Picking your mark. Jenny.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think both those comments are kind of similar in a way, and I think at the end of the day you don't ever... You do have an emotional response to it yourself, and I think it's okay to give your opinion that... I would be really excited by it. And at some point in the conversation to actually acknowledge what you think is okay. Would you agree, Martin, or am I?
Yeah, absolutely.
That sometimes you go for advice and you pick six different people because you actually want to hear in their circumstance, what would I?
And sometimes the person coming to advice will be quite explicit. I mean, how many people have heard some people say that? Well, what would you do? I mean, it's a very common question. And obviously, at that point, if they're asking for your opinion, in Jenny's word, your view, what would you do, then by all means answer. Be just careful about giving what I would do as your first response or second response, or probably even your third response.
Yeah.
Good one. Good one. Other observations, questions, comments? Yep, thank you. I'm sorry, sorry, Dennis, I should have recognised you. I apologise. Famous.
A question really to the scenario writer. Has John gone there because he thinks Jenny is going to give the answer that he consciously or subconsciously wants?
Great question. The scenario writer has left it deliberately vague because the scenario writer has a lot of fun just seeing the way different Johns play the role the extent to which it is generally concerned coming for advice or I'm really excited but got a few worries but she'll be right and so it's deliberately open, especially if we're going to do two or three different demonstrations to have some different Johns, so it is deliberately vague Dennis. I mean, Tressa...
People typically go to the person for wanting the answer they want.
In real life, in your experience?
In your experience, perhaps, yeah.
A mix. Certainly, some people coming with a problem are seeking validation. And as long as I'm getting, you know, some validation from the person I'm using a sounding board, I'm just hoping you're going to come up with the same view that I've got. And they may even share it, you know, how does this sound? I think there are also some people in some circumstances where people genuinely, I don't know what to do. I'm really concerned. I haven't even had the courage to talk to my wife.
Can we vote on whether
we
think John wants to go?
Bronwyn, I'm open to ideas. For the recording. Bronwyn is interested in your perspectives. From what you observed of John, role play that it is, his manner, his answers, his tone, his body language, who thinks John is keen to go to Shanghai? Who thinks John is reluctant to go to Shanghai? John, when you were channeling yourself, channeling the person with the offer, what did you have in mind?
Someone who was keen to go, but who, hadn't spoken to his family yet, and therefore was assuming it could be a big problem for his wife, and might find out that in reality, if he talked to her, she might be really excited and go, yeah, let's do it, it's great, great.
So it sounds kind of on the fence, the splinters hurting?
Yeah.
And therefore...
From a career perspective, wanted to go.
Okay. Yeah. So, Bronwyn, given that you asked the question, was that the mix you were expecting?
Yeah, because I thought he didn't want to go, but I was wondering whether that was just me.
Okay.
But I think
it was his fear coming through. Mm. So that gave that.
I also thought he was afraid of his wife.
Well,
okay. Yes. We might just leave the demonstration and let John and Jenny return to the seat. Thank you very much for playing.
Thank you very much.
And let's open up for a broader conversation about listening or some of the specifics about either the care. Whatever it is, acronym, I suppose, or the four different types of responses. And I'll let Leslie kind of facilitate the question so I don't get to something.
Okay. Thank you for a most interesting exercise. So who has questions they'd like to ask Martin? If you do, if you could use the microphone and state who you are, because this is recorded for posterity.
Or other observations on the demo are most welcome. I didn't mean to cut it, just opening up. Bruce.
Bruce Vincent. I think John neglected to say that his eldest child is actually doing the HSC, so that was another factor. But he clearly needed assistance in terms of how to frame this. And there's more. There's other options. And so he should put himself in his wife's position. What other options are there? Is this an opportunity for them? Perhaps they could contemplate boarding in Australia. Or that there's a number of things. It's not black and white. But he really needs to think about it from his family's point of view, not his own. Otherwise, he'll be going there by himself. Staying there by himself.
So, Bruce, couldn't you stay at the microphone? Yeah. So, when I talk about flexibility in those four different things, if we're going to take Bruce's line, that really the best thing for John at this stage is for us to open up a range of options, a range of other things to consider, which I'm absolutely happy with, Bruce. We could do this several ways, couldn't we? You know, we could focus on the E and say, well, given some of these worries, how could you put some of these worries at ease? One of them could be just using the questions. What options are there, as Bruce suggested? Someone could be the advice, well, I think your options are. Right? And so our flexibility about our response, so Bruce, what did you have in mind when you about if it was you giving the guidance and let's take you that your idea of trying to open some options up for John as would be the way you take the conversation. Which way would you approach that?
We're really trying to contemplate it from the wife and kids' point of view. And let's think about them and what, you know, are there options? Is it so black and white? Let's understand what the role actually means in Shanghai. Are you be travelling around? Have you got the full picture?
Okay. So you'd be using the question style to help explore that.
Yep.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Thank you. Good one. Yep. Is that Rob?
Rob, sorry, sir. It's general, semi-related to the role play. There's one side of this which you've sort of said, which is what's heard is in the ears of the listener. And that applies to both sides. So, for example, we had a couple of examples that came out there. One, most of the audience felt that John didn't want to go because they were sort of the way they were listening to that. The other one is almost that question that was asked about the family. I could hear that almost as critical. You know, what? You haven't asked your family? Don't you think you should? You know, it's, so I suppose the observation is that even when you're active listening, you've also got to put yourself in their role to try and work out, their shoes, to work out how they're listening as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many people have been in conversations when you replay them 24 hours later, what you thought was said is different than what the other person said? I thought it was just me. So to Rob's point then, what might you do to ensure we actually have the same perspective, Rob? How, in your experience then, what do you, if there's a sense that John's perspective and Jenny's perspective, they're seeing the same situation in different ways, what can you do to ensure or maybe improve the chances that you're seeing the same perspective? And one of it'd be to clarify again, even if it's just, you know, John, have I got this right? And just so we're playing back that we're seeing the same thing. No, great observation. Thanks, Rob. Jenny, you may. Oh, sorry.
Jenny Lyon. I have to respond to Rob. I'm really glad you thought that was almost critical. That was me trying to be critical. It's not my natural style. But I did want to try and fit that almost critical in. Now I've forgot what else I was going to say. I wanted to ask Martin a question. If you feel you're not being listened to, how would you react to try and... So you're trying to discuss something with somebody, you can tell they're distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Hints as to how we might be able to pull them in line.
Okay, great question. Firstly, notice, right? Because sometimes we're so caught up with what we're saying and how we're going to say it that we might forget to pick up the messages that the person is sending. They're most likely to be non-verbal, not verbal. So picking up that they are keeping an eye on the time or looking for their pen or looking for the whatever it might be. If they're distracted, let's observe it. Having observed that they're not giving you full attention when you think you deserve it, your choice. Your choice. Call them on their behaviour, politely or otherwise, especially with something like, oh, is this not a good time? It looks like do you need to be somewhere else? So, and it may be quite, I was a bit concerned, but now we've got time, I'm back in. All right? So a polite way of just observing, calling on behaviour. But if you're not confident, again, your decision, do you proceed? Or do you find someone else? Or do you reset? And maybe it doesn't seem to be a good time. Obviously, you're a little distracted, which is quite, again, normal human being. So what might be a good time for me to come back? Or maybe, John, you chose the wrong person. go and find another colleague who's going to be better at listening. So there's no, the short answer is depends. But the real answer is your choice. You're not stuck with that person. I think you take some responsibility for the choice, and so it is. Do we cease, do we persist, or do we reschedule? And there's obviously how that is answered will depend on lots of things, including relationship with the person, the circumstances, the issue, time frame. So, thank you.
Any more final questions, observations, remarks, John?
John Oakley. Two things. Firstly, I wanted to say that although I was trying to channel somebody who was enthusiastic about going, I think if it was me personally, I might not have been so enthusiastic. So interesting that the audience actually thought I wasn't really interested in going, so maybe I wasn't doing such a good job of channeling and acting. The other thing was just when we were going through the exercise and trying to work out the responses, we got to a stage of, we've got the empathetic response, we've got the questioning response, the advice, oh, we need a critical response. And we actually debated a little bit, well, do we need a critical response? And I sort of thought, well, you might not always in every scenario, so although you've got those four responses and you might always want to have some sort of empathetic response, would it be the case, I guess, that you don't need to necessarily cover all four bases in every situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for being here. I, as you heard me say, I would encourage you to emphasise the E in all of your human relations. And I think naturally you'll do the Q's and the A's. But no, you won't need a critical response in all situations. And I don't think that was one. You know, this is some good colleague stuff here. And I don't think that it was necessary to give John a critical response. And the same in your normal business. It's not everybody that needs wake-up calls. Or even just, you know, it's not even necessarily critical in the sense of just do it, you know, is maybe as far as required. But you don't need critical responses that often, in my experience. And I don't think the way that conversation was conducted that Jenny needed to, unless it was you've been deferring for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Can I do a wrap-up?
You can.
All right, so. So what? So from today, I'm hoping that we all agreed listening is an important skill. And you all acknowledge you don't do it 100% well the whole time. Hoping that either with you see it as reminders or from the demonstration that you understand that being flexible in the way we respond might be valuable if we want to get ahead. And I think that everyone is capable of improving. So best wishes with your listening.